Night had fallen as the travellers neared the great gorge. They were weary after marching since early morning that day. Bragoon called a halt within a short distance of the rim.
We'll take a breather, but without any fires. Eat and drink what you need, because we'll be leaving the rest behind.
Horty slumped down gratefully.
I say, what's the point of leaving blooming good scoff here? Silly if you ask me, what?
The otter spoke in a low voice to the three young'uns.
Keep your voices down till we're on the other side of that gorge, mates. I didn't like the place last time we crossed it, and I likes it even less now. We've got to travel fast and light when we crosses that big tree trunk, so keep your wits sharp.
Sorrow had the rope. She tied a short, thick piece of wood crosswise to one end of it.
Those broken staves were stuck atop of the other side should still be in place. If an throws it right, this chunk of wood will lodge atween them and we can climb up sharpish.
Springall cast a worried glance at the pair.
You two don't like that gorge one little bit, do you? Don't fret, we'll cross it as quick and quiet as you like.
Sarrow tested the knot she had tied around the wood.
Aye, you do that, Spring. I'll be in front of you and Brangle bring up the rear. Just do as you're told and everything'll be all right. I don't like that gorge any more'n Bragg does. That place has a bad feel to it.
Fenner's voice was small and shaky as she tried to make a joke.
Don't worry about us. We're young and we've got a lot to learn, but we're willing to listen to experienced old fogies.
Grasping her paw, Bragoon smiled in the darkness.
That's the spirit, missy. Right, up on your hunkers, mates. Let's get you safe back to Redwall.
Drawing the sword of Martin from behind his shoulder, the otter led them off toward the rim. Horty took one rueful glance at the small heap of provisions on the ground, then uttered a small sigh.
What a flaming waste. Ah, well, this is it, chaps. Off we jolly well go.
The edge of the chasm loomed up sooner than they had expected. Sarrow found the same boulder she had used on the previous trip. Making a wide loop in the rope's free end, she placed it about the big stone, lowering the end with the wood attached into the gorge below. Bragoon went first. Climbing carefully, he reached the ledge in front of the three cave entrances. He held the wood so that it would not clack against the rock wall. Springall came next, followed by Horty, then Fenner. Sarrow was last to descend. She flipped the rope deftly, catching the end as it unlooped from the boulder and dropped down. Before Bragoon stepped onto the tree trunk, he pressed something into Fenner's paw and whispered,
"Shove this in your belt pouch. No questions."
Without a word, the squirrel maid stuffed the object into her pouch, then followed the otter out onto the tree trunk bridge. Total silence and engulfing dark reigned in the yawning chasm. Holding one another's paws, the five travellers edged slowly forward, step by step. They were almost across to the far side when a harsh, evil laugh sounded out from behind them. Suddenly, the lights of many smoking torches lit up the gorge. Sarrow turned, gasping at the incredible sight. Karen Jewel stood on the trunk, backed by an army of vermin, each holding a torch in one paw and a spear in the other. They were mainly ferrets and weasels, with a scattering of large rats among them. Every beast's fur was thickly daubed with a sickly yellow and green substance, giving them a sinister, spectral appearance. But it was the horrific form of their leader that stood out. The weir had swung back his cloak, revealing a misshapen but powerfully bulky torso. As he gestured at them with a big, three-pronged trident, his monster's face split into an ugly grin.
"Stop where ye stand, trespasser! You belong to Caranjul, Lord of the Abyss. I will punish you for intruding on my domain."
Sarrow pushed Horty forward.
"Keep going, we're almost across."
Bragoon was about to jump from the log onto the opposite ledge when a score of vermin rose up in front of him. The captain, a tall weasel, snarled in his face.
"Stand still! Obey the great lord of life and death!"
The otter laughed, then slew him with a single sword thrust. Catching the captain's spear as it fell, Bragoon tossed it back to Sarrow.
"Keep him busy, mate. Redwall!"
Hurling himself from the tree trunk, Bragoon roared like a mad beast as he dealt out death and destruction with the sword of Martin the Warrior.
"Yeah! Grab
up some spears, youngins! No pack of fancy talking vermin are gonna stop us Redwallers!
Horty seized a long spear and was suddenly in the thick of the battle, whooping and bellowing.
Forward the Baths! Give them blood and vinegar! Charge!
Belting a weasel flying into the abyss, the young hare stood shoulder to shoulder with the otter, cutting, thrusting and slashing. Springald and Fenner armed themselves with fallen spears. They turned to help Saro, but the aging squirrel would have none of it. Single-pawed, she held the centre of the log bridge, letting none pass. Using her spear blade, she slashed at a ferret, flaying his foot paw. He hopped off into mid-air and vanished, screaming.